This is the Dental Experience Podcast. Here's your host, Ryan Vett.
Welcome to another episode of the Dental Experience Podcast. This is a bittersweet episode because it's the last episode of season one, but we've already got a really exciting season two lined up ahead of us for next year. So stay tuned for that. But I'm really fortunate to have with me today Judy K. Mozoff. She is one of the first dental speakers, consultants, coaches that I ever met in the industry, and she made a huge first impression on me, partly because she primarily wears orange as her main color, and whenever she walks into a room, she says a famous phrase, Judy K, it is...
Ta-da!
Ta-da! And I'm really excited to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Well, now you just made me sound very conceited because there's a little bit more story behind ta-da. It's not like, hey, I've arrived, but it's great.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's how you welcome others to the room. We met several years ago at SCN, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But I would love to hear just your story a little bit, how you move from being a practice administrator into sort of helping other practices get to their best selves and help their customer or their patients.
Well, I've been involved in dentistry since the early 80s, started as a receptionist and then became a practice administrator. And one of my favorite areas over the 26 years of being a practice administrator was really focusing on the culture aspect of the dental practice. I worked in all areas, you know, as the administrator, you do everything, including clean the toilet if you need to, but the culture side always is what, and the relationship side was always where I got my go juice from. When I started to reach out to decide I wanted to start my own business, you know, it always sounds like it's so easy, you just go and do it, but there sometimes can be a few obstacles. And SCN, which is the Speaking Consulting Network, is an organization that really helped me launch my career. So they help speakers, consultants, writers, and that really network and grow and learn. And they're a phenomenal support, as well as an ongoing growth opportunity. So I've been heavily involved with them since I joined them in 2007. And I like them so much that I actually have volunteered to be on their board. And I've been a board member, I think, for the past 4 or 5 years. So it's been a wonderful relationship with them.
That's great. And they're such a great group of people. I mean, everyone there is so friendly. They're so much fun. And they truly love and support each other because they truly love and support the dental industry as a whole. They want to see dental professionals really take it to the next level in their practice. And I love that you volunteer your time to be a part of that. And I'm glad that's how we met. I'm trying to think which SCN it was. I think it was in Portland several years ago where we met for the first time. And we just had a great time out there. So I appreciate you being a part of that.
Oh, thrilled to be.
Yeah. One of the things you mentioned in particular was culture and this idea of how you work with teams and team dynamics. And anyone that's been in a dental practice for more than an hour, not as a patient, knows that team dynamics are definitely something that play a lot into how the office is run as a whole and what the patient experience is going to be like in that practice and what it's like for everyone that works there. So do you mind talking about some of the key areas you help with in a practice? And we can start there and we'll continue the conversation about maybe some ways, some quick pointers you might have for some practices.
Okay. Yeah, I work with, in fact, I'm packing. If you've seen my office right now, you'd laugh. I have 5 boxes labeled for each of the culture camps and speaking events I have coming up in the next 2 weeks. So I'm getting organized today. So then when I only have a day turnaround, I just grab the next box and go. So my focus, wow, where I start with is the leadership aspect of it. The truth of it is everything flows from leadership. And the difficulty is you have extremely intelligent doctors in their, you know, in their specialty area of doing dentistry, and the time that they spent in school and leadership and business and all of that is very, very limited. So they come out of school thinking, okay, I'm going to practice dentistry, and they aren't really aware. I think it doesn't really sink in until they've been doing it for a couple of years that, you know what, this is 2 jobs. It's running a business and being a provider. And so all of a sudden, the leadership sometimes goes on, ends up being who's the most vocal in the practice if there's not a designated office manager. So I help leadership teams step forward, help them work together better, get aligned, create some very clear core value words to help structure their entire culture around it. So it starts with the leadership and then helping the team understand their role and how to co-create with them what it looks like to support those core value words in the practice. And then it really is about then managing the expectations afterwards. You know, it's so interesting, Ryan. We have systems and protocols for many different things, how to set up a room, how to do a certain procedure, how to sterilize this, whatever. But we don't often talk about our expectations on how we're going to communicate as a team, how we're going to support each other, teamwork, how we're going to, what type of attitude do we want our team members to come to work with? And so what they consider soft skills are often unspoken skills. And that's where we get a lot of the breakdown and the chafing, because expectations are very different because we're coming from different past experiences. So I help the teams work together to create a very united, aligned, happy, healthy, high-performing culture that supports the doctor's core values of where they want to take the practice. So that's really it in a nutshell.
That's wonderful. And I know practices often have a hard time bringing in a consultant, especially for team building or a coach. And a lot of times it's not until it's too late that they give you a call and their practice is in shambles and you have to clean up and help educate and empower the practice to get them moving forward. But what are some key indicators that you might have found in your experience that a doctor can basically start to realize that something might be occurring in the team dynamics that he or she needs to give you a call before it's too late?
Well, I think so. Many of the practices I work with are actually doing really well and just want to continue to keep it going. You know, it's like any relationship you have in your life. If you don't pay attention to your spouse, your marriage could go downhill. If you don't pay attention to each other as your, as a team and work together, it can go downhill. So it's really about maintaining and sustaining a healthy level. Do I come into some practices that are shambles? Yes. You'll see a lot of team turnover. You'll see a lot of absenteeism, tardiness, team members not wanting to come to work, doctors thinking, oh my gosh, I'll just go in and practice dentistry and run in and out as fast as I can so I don't have to deal with the stuff that they don't want to deal with. So those are some examples. But I think it's always easier to maintain a happier, healthier level than it is to pull back from a really dramatic trauma, that type of environment. But you know what? I do work with both. I've walked into practices where the majority of the team was going to quit if that culture camp didn't change their results from what was going on, and happy to say that we were able to work through a lot of their concerns. I teach them, I think probably one of the most important things working with the team is teaching them how to communicate again. So many of the problems and concerns stem out of assumptions, and assumptions are always way more negative. So it's how do we get back in line again? And I think the most important core value that I teach them is that they must treat each other as well or better than they treat their patients or referring doctors if they're a specialist, because that's where it starts. If we don't take care of each other, it's very difficult to pass that on to our patients and to our referrals as well.
Absolutely. There's a book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. And one of the key things he talks about is your core team. And if you focus on your core team, which in this case would be the practice team, all of your, in that case, customers, but in this case, patients, are actually going to have a better experience because you first worried about caring and loving for and nurturing and empowering your own team. And so I think that's exactly what you do with the practices you coach and work with, and you provide these culture camps for, and I think that's wonderful. So I do want to know, you wear orange a lot. Your email, if anyone emails you, your email text is orange, and I would love to know where the orange came from.
Well, first of all, I came from a pretty simple background. I grew up on a farm in North Dakota, and I can still remember being a little kid and going to town. We lived out in the country, and Mom would go to town once a week. Wednesdays was her town day, as we called it. And I had three dresses that were actually hand-me-downs from relatives from the West Coast. One was orange, one was brown, and one was kind of a purpley color. Orange has always been my favorite color. And so it was always the orange dress that won, right? And as I got older and I started getting more involved, I was always wearing orange. I would wear orange because it made me feel lighter, happier. Well, then the research behind it is that actually colors create different energy, and orange creates feelings of happiness and positive energy. So not only do I love the color, but it actually makes a difference in how you feel. I do a little test too. I'm traveling almost every week. In fact, since the first part of August, I've been on the road every week, and I will be till the end of December. I wear an orange scarf, a bright orange scarf, when I go through the airport, I get treated 100 times better than I do if I'm not. I will get at least, and I'm not 20 years old anymore. I'll get at least 10 compliments from women and men. Oh my gosh, I love that color. Oh, that's such a vibrant color. That looks so great. Oh, you just make me smile, you know? And when I don't wear it, I get more of the norm, you know, people not smiling, things like that. So it's interesting how that color plays. And I found that teaching others about it, you know, looking for opportunities to help make our day happier and brighter and more positive. If a little color orange can do it, super. I give out a lot of smile and shine bands and ta-da bands that are orange as well. But I will tell you, it's difficult to find good orange. And my good friend Janice Hurley, who is an image expert, she said, you know, you got to make sure you can't wear orange all the time, Judy Kay. So I'm working on that. Yeah.
Janice made fun of my shoes once. Apparently, if you don't have enough holes in the shoes where your laces go through, it's not considered a dress shoe, no matter how fancy it looks.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. So she counted, they have a name, I forget what they're called, but she counted how many of those holes where the laces are threaded through were on my dress shoes, and they did not pass the dress standard, contrary to the suits I had worn them with. So, and she'll be.
Well, she's excellent at what she does. And so, yeah.
And we're having her on season two, so everyone can look forward to that. But I guess the question is, how many non-orange items do you have? Do you have many non-orange items, or is probably...
Yeah. I mean, see, I'm not going to wear tacky orange. Come on. No. You know, so it's difficult to find orange. Now, a couple of years ago, orange was extremely popular in clothing. So it was much easier. So I bought a few. But I will accent. And there are times where I have absolutely no orange on except for the band around my wrist that either says ta-da or rise and shine or smile and shine. Excuse me.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be a caricature of myself.
Right.
I'm going to wear orange when it makes sense, but I also have, handbags and different accessories for work that have some orange in it as well. So, but awesome. I do try to always have some orange on.
Well, that's good. That's great personal branding too. You've mentioned a couple of times, and we started off this episode with talking about the idea of ta-da. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that idea? You're not conceited. I'm sorry if it came across that way. you're full of energy, and you actually help pass that energy along. But do you mind talking about your ta-da?
Well, you know, again, I do a lot of reading, a lot of research to find out what helps make us tick and how we can change how we feel. And the more I read, the more I realize how it's not the external, it's not the situations or other people that make us feel a certain way. It is all within our perception. We want something to happen that doesn't happen. So then we're frustrated. We expect something. We have a difference of opinion, different expectations, and that's where some of the energy comes, the negative energy. So when we start to feel stressed because our expectations weren't met, or we think we should or shouldn't have, we should all over ourselves all the time. And that's where that energy comes and we start swirling and getting stressed or uptight and thinking, oh, I should have been done with this, or I should be here, or I shouldn't have to do this. We can change how we feel by just simply changing a body pattern. And a body pattern is a pattern that your body, your specific body, recognizes. For example, if you're stressed, Ryan, maybe you clench your teeth. Maybe you're a night guard wearer. I don't know. You know, in dentistry, a lot of us happen to be that way. Right. Maybe you wring your hands. Maybe you tighten up. Maybe you frown. Whatever you consistently do is a body pattern, and your body recognizes that as a body pattern you do when you're stressed, and therefore sees it as a call for more stress hormones. So you can really spin yourself out. We can change how we feel, which is in less than 5 seconds, if we change our body pattern to a positive body pattern. So, which is why I wrote the book, Ta-da, Get Happy in 5 Seconds or Less. So positive body patterns, smiling, and showing our teeth, giving somebody a thumbs up, like, yeah, good job, or high-fiving someone, or clapping, or singing, or dancing, are all positive body patterns. And our body recognizes that as a positive pattern and as a call for serotonin. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, they aren't stressed. You know what? They must be happy. This is a happy pattern. This is a positive body pattern. And the most powerful one is the victory pose. Little children use it when they go, ta-da, and they throw their arms up in the air and they laugh and clap and have a great time. And even runners run across the finish line and they're throwing their arms up in the air in the victory pose, the V pose, as it's like, yes, I made it, you know? So that celebration, that ta-da, is teaching us as adults to celebrate our life again. We are, we are taught at an early age, you know, we kind of get ruined as small children. We are excited about so much and we don't worry about what other people think of us. And as we grow older, oh my gosh, everything is like, what will people think? Right. What will people think? No one cares. Everybody cares about what other people think about them. They don't even focus on us. You can get That's by so with true. Almost everything, you know? So teaching adults to celebrate what's good in their life again, to get back the joy. And ta-da just happens to be something that I, you know, I said, so let's, you know, it started out one of my first presentations. And I said, you know, what do you got to celebrate? Let's talk about it. And I said, let's do this together. And I thought, why not do a ta-da? And that was the start of it. So a ta-da is really a way, it's a way of life. It's a philosophy on how to celebrate and be grateful for what is in your life.
That's wonderful. And I think being grateful for what we have is something around Thanksgiving time, this time of year, we think about, but don't think about the other 364 days a year. So yes. I love that philosophy. Now, you did write a book entitled Ta-da. Do you mind sharing where people can get that and what they can expect to read or learn from that book?
So that was my second child. My first child is Rise and Shine. That's okay. A book on how to get out of your way and on your way to success. And Ta-da, Get Happy in 5 Seconds and Less, or less, is about shifting your mindset, how to be happier, different things you can practice that will help you become a more positive person. Because it's really about rewiring our brain. If we're happen to be what we call a realist or a pessimist or more of an Eeyore, we can train, we can create new thought paths and rewire our brain to be more positive. And so there are actual step-by-step, little, each chapter is a little chapter, short chapter on how to bring more happiness into your life and how to feel happier.
That's great. And I will provide links to both of those in the show notes so the listeners can grab those and check out those books. Where's the best place for them to buy it? Your website, Amazon?
Website. Website would definitely be it.
Your website. Well, I wanted to chat a little bit more about really creating experiences for the team, because so often we talk about patience, and we touched on it earlier. But what is some free advice to give a teaser to some of your coaching and your culture camps? What is a teaser of one of the main things that you see so many practices just not thriving at when it comes to loving their team well and caring for their team well? And something that our listeners, no matter who they are, whether they're in the dental industry working with a corporate team, whether they're in the front office, back office, hygienist assistant, or the dentist, what is maybe one thing that you could pass along to them today?
I think, there's a lot, but I think the one I would focus on right now is about how to be a team that co-creates together. Instead of doctors and managers coming in and saying, okay, this is how we're going to do this starting today. That makes the team feel like a victim, because every day they come in, they don't quite, okay, now we're doing it this way. Okay, now we're doing it. And they haven't had an opportunity to weigh in or get feedback. These are what I call fly-by decisions, where something's just handed off without discussion. So I think one of the most important things that to really help create a team that has ownership and accountability, which is always at the core that doctors are wanting to get more from on their teams, right, is to involve them. You can't tell them this is how you're going to do it and just don't ask questions, or you create sheep. Mm-hmm. So if we want our team to really get involved and help lift that practice up and make it the most it can be, that means they get to be a part of the conversation. And that conversation, that's why it's so important to have team meetings. And people will say, well, how often do I have to meet? Well, if you're a new practice implementing a lot of new things, I would meet weekly. If you're a practice that's been in existence and you're tweaking things here, fine-tuning things here or there, then maybe monthly, but no longer than that. Every 2 weeks would be more ideal for longevity on a practice. But when you have that team meeting, then it's, you talk about, here's what we're currently doing. I use what I call the RISE implementation process. Here's what we're currently doing, reviewing what we're currently doing. That's the R in RISE. And then the implement, the I is, who's going to do it? Who are we going to do it for? When are we going to do it? Where are we going to do it? Why we're going to do it? How we're going to do it? And the how includes practicing verbal skills and role playing. And I know everybody hates role playing,
yeah,
but it's so important that we do that. And then the actual physical walkthrough to make sure that our physical space is set up to support us. And then that S is the sustain part. Here's where we drop the ball. We try something for a couple of weeks, but we're creatures of habit. We want to operate on autopilot. Until it becomes a habit, we don't like it. And the average habit takes 66 days. So many times we're like, oh, after 2 weeks, that didn't work. We need to give things about 2 months to evaluate whether it works or not. And initially, we say to people, well, you're going to love this change. No, they're not. They're going to dislike it. It's going to be awkward and uncomfortable for at least until it becomes a habit.
Exactly.
And that range is somewhere 17 to 254, with the average being 66 days. And then the E in the RISE is always an ongoing evaluation. Is it still working? Did we implement it? And here's where the accountability comes from. If you talk about implementing something at your meeting last month, start out your next month's meeting reviewing, how are we doing with that? Are we still doing it? Versus just letting it fall off and introducing a whole new idea. So that would be, I think it's a co-creation, and having really effective meetings is the key with your team.
That's so good. And you had so many good nuggets in there. A couple that I pulled out in particular. First of all, this idea of ownership and accountability. People love to own things, and they also like to be accountable to them. A lot of people are afraid to have that accountability in an office or in any sort of work environment because they're afraid of what someone else is going to think, going back to what we talked about a couple minutes ago. But this idea of accountability is also rewarding someone or encouraging them when they have done, they've owned a project and they have completed successfully what they said they were going to own, whether that's a process or a project or anything like that. So I love the ideas of ownership and accountability. And I think that's so important. Have you read the book Extreme Ownership?
I have not. I have not, but I'll write it down. That sounds good.
It's a fantastic book. I just got through with it. It's pretty new, but it's by two men that were both in the Marines. Might've been Navy SEALs. I'll have to look into that. But either way, it just talks about how ownership of a task or a project or idea is so critical, and then holding each other accountable to that is not this scary, horrible thing that, because accountability is this big, ominous word, but instead it's this way that we can work together as a team and create something together that's better. So I love those ideas and that you brought up those words. And then you also brought up different types of meetings for different types of practices. I think meetings are, there's another book by Patrick Lencioni, referenced him twice now in this episode, but he wrote the book Death by Meeting. And it's this idea of people more in the corporate world, because if you're meeting all the time in the dental practice, you have bigger issues. But it's how there's these different types of meeting, from strategy meetings to decision meetings to the quick morning huddle. So I think those are some excellent concepts that really impact the team. Do you see any team dynamics in the corporate world that you translate into the dental practice that maybe others have seen and not realize that it's really a powerful team behind the scenes making that corporation run the way they run?
Well, I think one of the things that corporate has, you know, we think, ooh, corporate's all bad, and that's not true at all.
Right.
I think that corporate invests a lot more time in training. I think that they set their team members up to they have very specific systems and processes. So oftentimes when I go into a practice, if you have stronger personalities, this assistant does it this way, this assistant does it that way, another assistant does it a third way. So when you train someone new, they have to learn three ways because, well, sometimes we do it this way and sometimes we do it that way. Hmm. So corporate, really, the training and the precision of their systems and processes, they create a pretty strong foundation that way. Not necessarily, you know, then it depends on what their core as far as their values, as far as when it comes to patient care and that and service. But I do see that their training and their processes and that they really got down well. And I'm seeing a lot of multi-location practices grow more so than even corporate. Mm-hmm. And that's the learning process for them, is getting that strong foundation before they repeat something that isn't a strong foundation in another location. But so much of this is, you know, when it comes to culture, is to not talk about it as a concept. Like, we're going to have a positive attitude. Okay, that doesn't mean anything. Hmm. We have to drill it down to action steps, measurable, simple, daily action steps. And that's where you get results. That's where you create accountability. I can't measure a positive attitude, right, but I can measure of whether we agreed we were going to come in and we were going to smile and greet each other each morning, or that we were going to say please and thank you, or whatever it is that we define that we want as a team. And that's where the co-creation comes. The team chooses, because I'm not there. I'm going to be gone. And, right, you know, so that's really the key, is taking it from concepts to measurable action steps.
That's good. And I forget who the author was that wrote the SMART goals, but they basically said anything that you put into place can't be that conceptual idea, like a positive attitude, right, but it has to be measurable, time bound, and all of that. So I think that's wonderful. Now, that's great advice for some bigger corporations. If someone's just out of school and they're like, I'm going to be that person who's going to start the dental startup, I'm going to start from scratch and make this work, what one piece of advice would you give them as the most important thing when starting your practice from a team side? What one piece of advice would you give them?
Well, they should hire me.
Well, there you go. Heard it here first.
Well, I think it really is about, I think they have to start with creating their four. And I ask doctors to come up with their four core value words in order of priority. And then hire team members that are naturally, that's innate to them, because the more natural it is from within that person, the easier it is for them to help support you. But they must be clear on that. And then everything is built around those core value words. I'm looking at, you know, I'm going through the culture camps, the surveys I do beforehand. You know, it ranges. It could be technology could be one of those core, or it could be caring or dedication or excellence, or it could be so many different things, but it's each office has a little different flavor. And so when that doctor's starting out, they have to figure out what it is, what's their why behind their practice. And I'm not a fan so much of the big vision mission statements, because I think it becomes too flowery and people don't, becomes a concept versus actual. So if you say we're going to be caring, let's say caring was your number one core value word, then everything has to be caring. Everything has to be consistent. You know, when I speak on delivering WOW service, I talk about creating that consistency, because service is all about managing expectations. So if we say caring, then our every touch point, like our answering machine message, has to sound caring. Our people on the phone, we can't hire someone that doesn't have a caring sounding voice, because, or they have to be able to do it, because otherwise we are not representing who we say we are. And when we don't, then our patients or our referring doctors lose trust for us. So it's really about that consistency.
That's great and very true. And a couple minutes ago, you said that a happier team is on time and doesn't miss days. So you heard it here first. If you hire Judy Kay, your team will always be on time, and they'll never, ever take a day off. Is that what you were saying?
Well, no. We want her to take a day off to be rejuvenated. But hey, true. I'm going to say it starts with the doctors. Doctors, I'm sorry. There's absolutely no reason for you to be consistently late. Now, I know I'm going to be making a few doctors a little uncomfortable here, but I'm here to help practices succeed. I'm not here to help any individual succeed. So when I look, even if a doctor hires me to come in, please know that I'm going to address whatever it is. I'll give you feedback on whatever it is I see that gets in the way. When doctors consistently come in late, their team is all ready to go. They're ready to rock and roll. And then they're waiting 20 minutes, their whole day is behind because of this. And I say, doctors, you don't need to come in late. I mean, occasionally stuff happens, but your team has traffic, your team has children, your team has all the same things you do. Mm-hmm. There's no entitlement for that, because you're destroying your team and the relationships with your patients, because they start to lose respect for you. If you don't want to show up at 8, then start your office at 8:30, but be on time. Yeah.
That's really good. I love that advice. Well, do you have any last piece of wisdom or advice or anything you want the listeners to know? And then we'll talk a little bit about some of the shows you're going to be at.
I think it really is just, you know, not getting so uptight about things that life continues to happen, that, you know, it's really about how do we to come together as a team, support each other and help each other out. How do we put the filters back on for each other, for the people we care about and work with the most, including our families, and get back to respect and kindness and appreciation. And I think that makes the biggest difference in our relationships.
Absolutely. Well, that's great advice. And I know you speak all over. I've had the privilege of hearing you speak multiple times. It's always inspiring. It's always fun. And a lot of times we get to do the ta-da at your speech or when you're speaking. And that's one of my highlights. But you provide a lot of value in things that I've actually taken. And when I've managed teams outside of dental, I've taken to those teams, believe it or not. So just great, great advice. So this week, or I guess this week's Thanksgiving week, so this weekend, you're going to be speaking at Greater New York a couple of times. Do you mind talking about what days you're speaking at Greater New York and what your topics are on?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be speaking on Sunday the 25th and Monday the 26th. On Sunday, I'm going to speak in the afternoon from 2:30 to 5:30 on Rise to Success, which is about leadership and team, the leadership team and the team and how to build the dynamic team. On Monday, I'm going to be speaking from 9 till noon on how to deliver wow service and how to manage those expectations of our patients and consistently. Because that's really what it's all about, and to deliver for your team to make decisions on the fly that support your core values that create those wow relationships. And then Monday, in between, I'm going to actually be doing a book signing at the Care Credit booth. They were generous enough to supply some of my books as a gift. And so I'll be doing a book signing at their booth. And then Monday afternoon, I'm speaking on communication, on attitudes, conflict, and gossip, and all that fun stuff. So, and that's from 2 to 5 on how to resolve some of those issues and work together better. So that's my schedule for Greater New York.
That's fantastic. And I look forward to being able to hear you speak again. And it's always an encouraging and inspiring time. And the topic of gossip is so huge. I think we could spend a whole episode just talking about gossip in the office. So maybe we'll have to have you on in season 2 to do that. And then I know you're speaking at many other shows and study clubs and smaller events throughout the remainder last couple of weeks of this year. And then you're going to be speaking at pretty much all the major shows coming in the spring. I'll see you at Yankee. Yes. I'll be speaking there on Thursday morning. What do you know what day you're speaking in January at Yankee Dental?
I'm actually speaking a day and a half.
Too far
so
out.
I am speaking on the 31st, I believe, January, and also on a little bit on the 1st, half a day on the 1st. So full day on the 31st and the same courses. So yeah.
Okay. Hopefully I'll be able to sneak in and hear you there as well. And definitely the registration is open for both Greater New York and for Yankee Dental. So definitely go online and register if you have not done that and you're going to be in those areas. But Judy Kay, I've really appreciated our time today. How can the listeners get in touch with you to get all your expert advice and your energy into their practices to help with culture camps and just coaching their teams?
Okay. Well, probably the best way is to visit my website at practicesolutionsinc.net. And then there's a little tab that says Ask Judy Kay, and you can just fill out the information and it'll email me. That's probably the best way. I love to work with offices of Culture Camp. It's not a year-long commitment. It's a couple day where we launch your culture to where you want it to be. Also love to do gift seminars for specialists where it's a thank you appreciation for the referring doctors. In fact, I've got two of those coming up at the end. I try to fit those in as well. One in Atlanta and one in California coming up. So those are for a thank you to the referring doctors. So we'd like to do that as well. But that's where you can hear me first if you'd like to hear me. And also if you visit my website and you click on either speaking or coaching and look at the travel dropdown, you'll be able to see where I'll be speaking as well.
And you have quite the list there. So you will definitely be coming to a city near the listeners here. So you're definitely well-traveled and have an impact across the nation, which is fantastic and really encouraging and motivating teams. Well, thank you so much for taking your time, valuable time to be on the show today. And thank you, listeners, for making this an incredibly successful season one. We look forward to a 6-week break, and we'll be back with season two in January. Thank you for listening to the Dental Experience Podcast. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Dental Experience Podcast. For show notes, to ask a question, or for more information, visit www.thedentalpodcast.com. The ideas discussed during this episode are the opinions of the participants and do not serve as legal, financial, or clinical advice. Until next time, this is the Dental Experience Podcast.